Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it is a feel-good football Friday in the nation's capital, baby. And we are counting you down as best we can in the 3 hours we're allowed to kick off on Sunday at Northwest Stadium, 1 o'clock, babe. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Washington Commanders. Game of the week. And cherish these 1 o'clock Sunday afternoons. Like, if you love to be home at night, you don't love nighttime football, and I can't stand it. If you value, like, going to bed at a decent hour, and I'm old, so I do value that, cherish these 1 o'clock Sundays because there ain't many left. Some are scheduled, but there ain't many left. At least one, if not more, will be flexed. And don't think that it can't happen from a standpoint of not only into Sunday night football, but also a Monday night flex window is coming. I think that starts week 12, I believe. From Monday night football, and I believe there's even a flex window for Thursday night football as well. And guess who is the hottest ticket in town? The Washington Commanders, of course. So cherish these 1 o'clock Sundays, especially against a big opponent that has a big following, a national following, like the Pittsburgh Steelers do, because they ain't going to be at 1 o'clock anymore. They ain't going to be at 1 o'clock anymore.
This game would have been a 4:25 start if it wasn't for Eagles-Cowboys on CBS.
Exactly. And CBS. Hello, Victor. How are you?
Good to hear from you. I haven't seen you in a couple of days.
A couple of days. It's good to be back with you. Metal Chris doing yeoman's work as well over the last 2 days. Matty will be back on Monday from his luxurious vacation in Cancun. But you're here.
I am here.
You're there. Steve Summers, WFAN tribute. If you don't know why the voice went to a different octave, we will have John Walton, the voice of the Capitals, at 2 o'clock. The Caps take on another Pittsburgh team, although this one is struggling. Yeah, not the one on Sunday.
You throw out the record books
sure.
when it comes to these guys.
Absolutely. But Sid
Pittsburgh
the kid in town.
Man.
Yeah, man. Should be a great Friday night. Well, should be. At Capital One Arena, no local television coverage. That sucks for Joe B. and Locker. They'll be back on the call on Saturday night in St. Louis. But John Walton will have the only local call over on 106.7 The Fan tonight. With the pregame beginning at 7:15. It's a 7:30-ish puck drop because I guess the game is just available in terms of like TV, not even on regular ESPN, on ESPN+. It's all just part of, you know, obviously the NHL and their deal with ESPN to come back to ESPN a couple of years ago. And listen, everybody, you know, look, you don't like it? I understand. I get it. I hate Thursday night football on Amazon Prime specifically. It just drives me crazy. I mean, I have nothing wrong with the Amazon Prime production or whatever. It's just you can't change channels. You can't If you're watching it on the computer, you can't watch something else. You've got competing audio. I'm still trying to break down tape on Thursday nights, much to the chagrin of the big boss man, CK. I'm still trying to look at Steelers tape. I'm still trying to look at plays that I liked from late in the game against the Giants. You know, got things to do. I'm a busy man. So Thursday night football would be great if I could just put it on my TV, which I can, but not in my office, right? Which is where I have everything also set up to do my work and so on. I don't want to bore people, but it's just problematic. But what isn't problematic is when you get a great game and a controversial ending. We're going to get to the Commanders and the Steelers coming up. Don't worry. I got plenty of things on that. We're going to get to our dueling Super Six Packs, including six games against the NFL spread, which always, every week, whether we like it or we don't like it, homie don't play, we like it, we don't like it, we just do it. A pick, our official pick, against the spread for the Commanders game, regardless of opponent. So we will have that for you. As well, our top six teams in the NFL entering week 10, ranked 1-6. We don't do committees. We don't do the rest of the league as honorable mentions like some others do. We just do straight up team 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And we try and figure out whether the Rooster as the Commanders amongst the top six teams in the NFL. And then there's also this, and still to come, a lot of people have been chirping about where Jaden Daniels falls into the NFL quarterbacking hierarchy. I got some things for you coming up on that. Is he a legitimate MVP contender? We know right now he's the runaway winner for the rookie of the year on offense. We know that. That's not even a fair question. We'll tackle all of that. Plus, how do you attack the Steelers on offense and on defense? How do you attack the Steelers? Offense, defense. We'll touch on all of that. But again, I mentioned the Thursday night game last night. And we'll start there. What else can you say about Lamar Jackson? I mean, he's unbelievable. Listen, I've been critical of Lamar as a pocket passer early in his career. Obviously, a lot of that, if not all of that, is now a thing of the past. The only thing we have not seen him do, besides getting to a Super Bowl, and obviously winning one, is beating a great defensive team in the playoffs. Like, I shouldn't say that. They beat the Texans with a great second half last year. The Texans were good on defense. I don't know if they were great. When I say great, I'm talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. And maybe that's unfair, but that's what I'm talking about. Okay? Beat Steve Spagnuolo and the Kansas City Chiefs with Chris Jones healthy? Then we can talk. Then we can talk. But Lamar just lays waste to everyone else. Last night, 25 of 33. Can't get much more accurate than that. 290 yards. An 8.8 average, 4 touchdowns passing, no interceptions, wasn't sacked, a quarterback rating of 141.4. Oh, and he ran for 33 yards, 7 carries, had the long of 10, and that doesn't shed the light on what he did on that one ridiculous run where he was lined up at the 16-yard line of Cincinnati, rolled back on an angle to his right and away from pressure all the way to the Cincinnati 31-yard line, then decided to go joystick style, video game style, up the sideline, making tacklers miss, leaving guys in their jock strap, and got all the way down to the 1-yard line, and then the next play, Derrick Henry's in. Now, Lamar Jackson's great. I think we all know that. I think we all understand that. Joe Burrow was amazing last night. 4 touchdown passes, no interceptions himself. Now, he was sacked 3 times, 428 yards through the air, threw it 56 times. So obviously threw it way, 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 way more than Lamar and wasn't as efficient as Lamar, but they also don't have the same running threat. I mean, no offense to Chase Brown. You know, they don't even have Zach Moss in the game. No offense to Chase Brown. He's fine, but he's nothing special yet. And I don't think he's going to be anything special long term. It's fine. But Joe Burrow was expected, even with Cincinnati having a 21-7 lead at one point, to shoulder the load, to carry the load. And then, after Cincinnati's defense threw up all over themselves because they couldn't tackle not only Lamar Jackson, but they couldn't tackle Tylan Wallace down the sideline, Joe Burrow was asked to basically say, all right, you're one of the best top three, top four quarterbacks in the NFL. You make a lot of money. You're Joe Cool, Joey B. You're your team. Big game for the Bengals. You're 4-5 coming in. Divisional game. You already lost to the Ravens in overtime at home. Big chance here. So we're going to need to ride your back, big boy. And Joe Burrow did it, man. Joe Burrow was unbelievable in that game. With the exception of one situation. And herein lies the problem. A lot of people got mad at me last night, as usual, including JT the Vic. Mad might be a stretch. But Brendan Dar, who used to work with us here, who works at SiriusXM, takes umbrage every single time. God forbid I have a different opinion than the analytics amigos, than the number nerds. I said, right after the Bengals tied up the game on just as sloppy of a defensive series as you're going to see from the Ravens, penalty after penalty after penalty, the ones that were actually called, the ones that weren't called, should have been called. We'll get there in a sec. The Bengals score a touchdown to Ja'Marr Chase, 5-yard touchdown. On 3rd-and-3 with 38 seconds left. Then they come out and they have Ja'Marr Chase one-on-one to the left of Joe Burrow, to the top of the screen. Everyone can see it. No safety help. No nothing. The Ravens secondary is stunk. And I think Harbaugh called a timeout before the Bengals actually run the play. Then they have the same matchup again when they come out of the timeout. And for whatever reason, and probably because you're thinking, everyone was thinking, hey man, they're going to go to Ja'Marr Chase. Why wouldn't you? Ja'Marr Chase had 2,000 yards last night. He had like 6,040 fantasy points last night. If you were playing Ja'Marr Chase in fantasy, don't even pay attention to the rest of the week. You have lost already. But then he throws to some backup tight end, Joe Burrow does, Hudson, while getting face masked again for a second time on the drive, while there's a holding on the same damn play in the middle of the field at the end zone line that doesn't get called, and the Bengals don't get either call, and they lose because Hudson can't reel in a little bit of an erratic pass from Joe Burrow. Not a totally terrible pass, but a little bit of an erratic pass from Joe Burrow. Why? Probably because he's got a hand raking the coals of his face, again, for the second time on the drive, that's not called. And the two-point conversion doesn't go through. None of the calls are made. And the Bengals lose. Now, while all this is going on, Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit, And I think it's Terry McCauley on Amazon Prime, which is where the Commanders Eagles game is. Now, you'll be able to watch it on TV because I think they have to provide an over-the-air market. I'm not sure which station in town will have it. We'll let you know later on next week. But the point being is, Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit, and Terry McCauley, the referee, analyst, whatever, are broadcasting the game, and they see, of course, what we all see and what the referees somehow missed. And here's how it sounded on Amazon Prime.
Back to the two-pointer we go.
This is after the throw, the two-point conversion. Oof, wow. It's another one. And Joe doesn't complain very often. He didn't there. He just kind of grabbed it. Wow, look at that follow-through. And then you throw that, and then the Gesicki. Terry, what do you see here on both these? The hit, the follow-through on his face mask, and then Gesicki.
Yeah, it was clearly defensive holding before the pass was in flight. Yeah. That should have been called. And that does look like forceful contact to the head of the quarterback. That's wow. That's a person that's roughing the passer and should have been called.
Too many games end this way. They just do.
Yep.
You miss calls, the whole thing. It's so frustrating to the fans. So frustrating.
Of course it is, Al. Thank you very much. And 2 weeks ago, we had the same or similar situation where Sam Darnold is gouged by the helmet and the face mask in the end zone. LA Rams, Minnesota Vikings. And it's called the safety because they completely missed the face mask again on Thursday Night Football, and it goes from an 8-point game to a 10-point game and out of touch, out of grasp. So two times in 2 weeks, on essentially the most critical play of the game, we've had non-called face masks to the quarterback. Now, it would be one thing if we only had one face mask. But as you heard Terry McCauley, Kirk Herbstreit, Al Michaels, Amazon Prime say, not only that, but there was a clear missed holding on the tight end by the Baltimore Ravens. On top of that, let me give you one more. Before Yossi Voss gets I thought for sure they were going to overturn that because, you know, of course, there's nobody knows what surviving the ground means and what a catch is. They actually upheld that, surprisingly, on 4th and 10, which extended the game. Before that, there was an incomplete pass in which Joe Burrow was raked again across the helmet and the face mask. And again, they didn't call it. So count with me, boys and girls. You had 1, 2, 3 blown calls on the Bengals' final drive, including 2 on the two-point conversion. Now, I point this out because that's the reality of the situation, right? And officials are going to miss calls. I got it. I understand. I try and defend officials. Games never come down to one play. But ultimately, it's hard to say, well, when you're putting your entire existence for that game on the line on one play, that it didn't affect the game. Of course it did. And it didn't alter the result of the game. We don't know that for sure, but it certainly would have given the Bengals another chance, even if they didn't catch the two-point conversion, right? Because of the personal foul and because of the holding. It should have, at the very minimum, given them another chance. But boys and girls, this is what I wanted to say. This is why, when I get a lot of flack from colleagues, friends, listeners, critiquers, people that like to bust my chops for no reason, this is why I say, I'm not always a fan of going for it on two-point conversions at the very end after you've scored and you're down one, and instead of kicking the extra point, yes, anything can happen on any play, in any situation, I understand. You don't want to be at the mercy of a coin flip, I understand. Lamar Jackson is dancing all over them, I understand. Patrick Mahomes the other night is doing Patrick Mahomesian type things. I get it all. But you don't have any control over terrible officiating. You don't have any control over some dude slipping and tripping. You don't have any control over that. So for everybody that sits and says, well, you don't have any control over the coin flip either, and you don't want to give Lamar Jackson another opportunity to just have a touchdown and go right down your throat, I got it. We could sit here and play the, well, you don't have a chance, this, a mathematical, this, that, the other thing. Listen, you're probably screwed one way or the other, but I'm always a big fan of giving yourself more than one chance where a lot can go wrong. Some can go right, but a lot can go wrong. And that's what the proponents of the two-point conversion at the end of these games, to take the lead instead of kicking the extra point to tie it and potentially force overtime, seem to conveniently ignore all the time, which is the reality. You are better off extending the game, extending your window to win. Not just extending to be a token, not extending to automatically give up a touchdown, because there is no automatic anything. You are better doing that, in my opinion, than having one play, having to execute it right, and also not getting screwed by the officials. Because the Bengals got screwed twice on the same damn play to take the lead. Twice. Not once. Twice. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. If you want to weigh in on the Ravens-Bengals game last night. The controversial end. I have no idea what to do about the officials. I have no idea what to do about the dopey NFL. They are the dumbest sports league in all the land, and they are the richest sports league in all the land. I do have a continuing suggestion. I'll mention it next. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is a feel-good football Friday in the nation's capital and beyond. We started off with, obviously, not only setting the stage for what is to come on the show, and we'll get plenty of Commander Steelers in. We'll talk to John Walton, voice of the Caps, coming up at 2 o'clock, big one tonight at Capital One Arena. We'll get the dueling Super Six Packs and all that. But then we got hot and heavy into the criticism of the NFL, and they deserve it. It is a league that is run by a bunch of just dimwits. Every week, I don't think it can get any worse, and it continuously amazes me how just mystifying this league is. We screamed about this 2 weeks ago. Hey, man, great rule. Great, awesome thing to do. Replay review. Replay assistance. Except for one problem. As usual, the powers that be, the let's not use any common sense powers that be, refuse to allow penalties like face mask specifically to be corrected by replay review. Oh, wait, no, we can't do that. No, that makes too much sense. Sorry, guys. Don't look over here. Don't look at the $17 billion that we make. Don't look over here. And for a second Thursday night game in 3 weeks, or essentially 2 weeks, three games, we have an officiating disaster against a quarterback with a face mask, and this time it was two. It was two plus a missed holding call on the two-point conversion. You can't get any worse than this. It's a terrible look for the NFL. And again, officials are going to miss calls. I got it. Please have a system in place that allows you, however you decide to do it, to be able to correct obvious mistakes. Obvious, not partial, not 50-50 mistakes, not the spot on fourth down against the Commanders where you couldn't really tell down the line and it was fuzzy and they gave the Giants the first, all that. When it's obvious, that's when we have to correct it. And the NFL says, no interest. And yet they look like a bunch of boobs for the second of three Thursday nights. Four times in the last 2 weeks at the end of games. All right, again, we'll get to your calls about this on the other side real quick. But Vic, you and I have had a long-running bit. I don't know how it started. I think it was, one time 6 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever it was. You were just eating a tuna sandwich. And so whenever I see you, for whatever reason, I feel like I got to mention a tuna sandwich.
Yeah, I'm the big tuna.
You are the big tuna, yeah. Because Bill Parcells is no longer active in the NFL, and you've kind of taken, you've basically removed Bill Parcells from the lexicon of people's thoughts.
Yes.
So for whatever reason, I always associate you with a tuna sandwich.
You're the only person here at the radio station.
I don't know why. Now, we bust each other's chops a little bit, me more than you, but I said, my guy works hard.
Thank you.
A lot of times he toils in anonymity, working late at night mm-hmm. with Charlie and Dave, Nationals games that, quite honestly have been difficult over the last 5 years because the team has been so bad.
Lot of tuna subs to get through those years.
Yeah, but he's a world champion, and he has a ring to prove it. This is the executive producer of the Stars. So today, I said, damned if I show up on time. I'm going to the Teats. Harris Teeter, that is, before you get any crazy ideas. I went to Harris Teeter, and I got you a tuna sub.
Oh, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
So during the break, I want you to come get your tuna sub. And I didn't even get condiments on it because I didn't know whether you would like condiments, so I got them on the side.
Okay, all right.
Little lettuce, tomato, little tuna sub. Now, I did put cheese on it because was a tough call.
I like pepper jack.
I didn't get your pepper jack, sorry.
I'll live.
I got you some American cheese.
For me, I'll take it.
All right. This is for all of your hard work. And to show you what you mean to us here.
Even though you and I both disagree on the two-point conversion at the end.
Yeah, you're crazy. No, I understand I understand why you would want to go for it. I understand you came to win a game. I got it. Zach Taylor said the same thing after the game. I understand it all. I'm not telling you that I would. Like, if Dan Quinn's in that position on Sunday, Dan Quinn is going for two. And I know it. He's not kicking the extra point. I know it. And either it's going to be very successful or it's going to be very unsuccessful and we're going to bitch about it or we're going to celebrate it on Sunday if he's in that situation or next Thursday or whatever. It's going to happen and he's going to go for it. But you don't always have to go for it if you actually consider the downside. If you actually consider the downside, which a lot of the analytics amigos don't do, if you actually consider the downside, you'll understand why I'm so hesitant to put an entire game on the stage, if you will, of one play where the worst officials in God's creation, part of the worst league in sports, can constantly screw it up and rob you of a win.
But Russell, I'm not going to not go for two because I don't trust the officials to do their job. You can't be
It's not just that.
But
though.
That's what it sounds like.
Well, I'm saying that, that is a huge part of it.
Because the officials are gonna botch it? Like,
that's a huge part of it. What if you don't execute? What if your guy slips? What if your guy falls? What if your guy just makes a bad throw? What if your guy makes a bad read? I mean, there's seven or eight different things as to why you probably should err on the side of caution, be conservative, and take your chances in overtime. No. All right, we got to take a break. Quick trending alert. Then we'll get to the calls. We'll mix it up. I know my guy, the Birdman, wants to weigh in. He's a big Ravens fan. He's doing his thing. We will do that next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, 1:39 on the Team 980 on a feel-good football Friday. We will mix it up, however. John Walton again from the Washington Capitals and their radio broadcast team will join us in about 20 minutes or so as the Penguins are in town in advance of another Pittsburgh team in town, Steelers, on Sunday against the Commanders at 1 o'clock. One thing I wanted to correct, and JT the Vic pointed it out, and I'm appreciative that he did, I screwed up. I didn't see that Ja Morant has been ruled out for the Memphis Grizzlies tonight, dealing with, what did you say, Vic? Apparently a hip injury or something like that?
Hip soreness.
Yeah, see, he's been ruled out for Memphis tonight against the Wizards. So that, you know, listen, that's a huge help to the Wizards. No guarantee that they're going to win, but that's a huge help. Again, we did talk to Corey Kispert about that and other things, the development of all the rooks and all of that stuff. The Mexico City trip, great conversation with Corey Kispert. If you want to go check it out on the podcast, theteam980.com yesterday, or on the Odyssey app, it's also chaptered there for you. But again, no Ja Morant for the Memphis Grizzlies tonight. That game over on Bloomberg 99.1, Caps over on 106.7, Maryland basketball here on Team 980 and the Odyssey app. And we are here until 4 o'clock, and we have so much to cover. It's going to be hard to get it all in. But let's go out to the phones and say hello to my guy, the Birdman, who is with us, who is in recovery, who is a diehard Ravens fan and somehow going to try and defend the Baltimore Ravens from the bad officiating. Yes, Birdie?
Look, all I have to say is this, Chris.
Yes.
I don't have no problem at all with those calls last night.
Of course. Of course. But, you and a bunch of crab cake eating Huns.
But I'll say this. I was watching, I don't know, ESPN or NFL Network, and Bart Scott made a point. And I didn't see this until he pointed it out. If you look at that face mask at the end, you can see where the offensive lineman is pulling on the defensive lineman's shirt as he's coming down, pulling on the jersey, and therefore he's raking the mask of Burrow. Now, I'm not saying that's you know, good or bad or indifferent, but that is what the replay shows. As he's raking the mask, you can see the Cincinnati offensive lineman tugging the jersey and just trying to like pull him down. Now,
okay, I probably maybe I saw that and I'm not remembering it exactly, but you know, I totally understand how that could look. And what you're saying is what, or what Bart Scott was saying is that caused the face mask, or that should have been called in addition to the face mask? I'm confused on that.
That caused the face mask.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to have to go match that up because, which is a bad job by me, because I didn't either remember that or I forgot about it.
Yeah, but it's right in front of Burrow. You can't miss it if you go back and look at it.
Okay, all right.
But you know, so Chris, here's the thing, and you're right. I think they should have went for the field goal, or the extra point.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, because the Ravens couldn't stop a freaking train last night. It was horrible.
But you know what they would say is the Bengals couldn't stop Lamar and the Ravens offense either. So it was likely whoever won the coin toss that was going to score a touchdown and game over, right? But likely is not the same as definitively or for sure or you know, 75%, 80%, 85%. I don't know. I don't know what the percentage is, because that's why you play the game. Plenty of teams go three and out even after having a good half or a good quarter or a good couple of series, you know?
So Chris, is the solution this? And you know, I've been saying this for a long time. Do what they do in the playoffs. Let each offensive, let each offense get a shot, no matter if they score a field goal or a touchdown. So let's say Cincinnati comes out there, they get a, or Baltimore comes out there, they get a touchdown in overtime. Give Cincinnati the ball and see what they can do. Because that's the only fair way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. But instead, they have the touchdown ends the game rule, and I think part of the reason for that is to preserve players' bodies, and that was part of the negotiation with the CBA and the players' union. So that's, you know, kind of why they had that. Birdie, I appreciate you as always, bud. I got to run so we can get in some other calls here before we go too far, but appreciate you as always, and hope you're doing well. That's my guy, the Birdman. Let's get to Dr. Sabah here at 1:45 on a Phil Good Football Friday. Doc, how are you?
Hey there, Christopher. Thanks for taking time out for me. I thought I could squeeze a call in. Now, I don't know if I heard all of your argument, but that game last night to me is very strange. First of all, you do not go for two when the other team has enough time and timeouts to come and kick a field goal that will still win, because now you're giving them four downs instead of. So when everybody was criticizing Bowles at Tampa Bay for not going for two the other day, last week, he actually did the exact right thing, because that game ended in what? A tie. So he had a 50-50 chance of winning the field goal. You only have, I think, like a 5% chance or something. And on top of that, Kansas City would have went for the fourth down when it was fourth and one. Instead, they punted or whatever and went to overtime. So in this scenario, if you have enough time, you never go for two, because now you're giving them four downs. Four downs, just like in overtime in the Super Bowl last year, San Francisco should have given Kansas City the ball first instead of taking it first, because now Kansas City had four downs to do what they wanted to do instead of San Francisco, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, it makes sense, yeah. But you can't do it in overtime because it's first touchdown, which is exactly what happened in the Super Bowl last year. San Francisco never. I got to double check that.
Won the toss.
That's right. You're right. San Francisco went three and out. You're right. I forgot about that. Yeah, I forgot about that.
They should have deferred. Now, but in the regular season scenario, your steal percentages are better if you go for the tie, if there's time enough for the other team to come back and kick a field goal to win, because your chance of getting the two and winning are much less than 50%.
I agree with that. And again, so much can go wrong on one play, whether it's your own execution or the inability of the officials to see anything.
Yeah, and both Baltimore did the right thing. Do everything. They're not going to call, and even if they do, so what?
Mm-hmm.
You just give up maybe a two-point conversion on the next play. You just keep fouling to make sure they don't get it done, because Buffalo didn't really have much to lose. They still had time left with timeouts to get a field goal.
Yeah.
Now, despite their field goal kicker, who happens to be on my fantasy team, and now he's horrible, he is one of the best kickers in the league, supposedly. Now, my second point, Burrow, y'all keep saying he had a great game. I was very upset with him, because when it was, I think it was tied or they were within a touchdown or something, it was fourth and like two from like where you're going to go for it. Why would you throw deep passes and double covers twice? Just throw something underneath or run for it. Move the chains, buddy. Move the chains. He was going deep, and then they ended up having to punt.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost on down.
Yeah, you kind of a waste of possession. Now, what we don't know is what the progression of the reads is, right? You know, and I understand, like, there's, you know, I understand your point, and I'm with you. I don't know why teams feel the need to go up top on fourth and one or whatever, other than it's not expected, right? Because it's a low leverage, it's a low success rate play, but also teams are not expecting you to do it, so that's why they do it.
But they still weren't open, Chris. Whether they were expecting,
I understand. I understand that too. Yeah, I understand that too.
Covered. So I don't understand. He could score 400 yards. He still doesn't have the it factor when it comes to me.
Right.
When it comes to these critical situations, and I think his coach is gone, because they're the poorest coach team I've seen in a while.
All right, give me something 30 seconds on the Commanders. Go right ahead.
Oh, 30 seconds. All right, here we go. It's going to be really tough with T.J. Watt. We saw what he did to Kirk Cousins. However, I am so confident in this offense. I'm watching the game last night. I'm like, oh, my God. Our guy throws wide open people constantly. And when our running backs run, they run open. We have something going on with our offense that the other people have not caught up to. So if we can just make sure to pass away or run away, or in other words, use T.J. Watt's aggressiveness against him, which I think we can do, we're going to win the game because I think our offense is going to be better than their offense. Even though their defense may be slightly better than ours, our offense is so much better than their offense. So I see it going to be a close game, something like a weird kind of score, like 19, let's say 20 to like 17, something like not so high scoring that we think it's going to be.
All right. Okay? Love it. Thank you, Doc. Appreciate you. Have a good weekend. That's Dr. Sabah coming strong to the hole with some good spins there. I just watched the video that Birdman was talking about. Clearly, the Bengals offensive lineman is yanking down the Ravens. You know, so you could say, well, they missed a hold. I don't know if the hold and the yank down actually causes the face mask. It certainly maybe contributes to it, but I can't conclusively say that that's the only reason why he gouged him by the face mask was because he was being yanked down by the Bengal offensive lineman. That's my interpretation, but we will see. All right, time to take a quick timeout. Some injury updates when we return and what's going on at kicker. Then John Walton, voice of the Caps, as a big one at Cap Capital One Arena tonight. Caps and Pens coming up, and then we'll be back to Football Friday after that on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, coming up, the voice of the Capitals, John Walton, will join us on the, not the eve, on the precipice of the first meeting of the year between Sid the Kid and Alex Ovechkin. That's coming up tonight. Again, the only local call, because there's no local TV, it's on ESPN Plus and Hulu. The only local call will be John, Ken, and the crew on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app and the Caps radio network. So we don't have any clarity on Brian Robinson, other than reporters did not see him out at the open portion of practice. We don't know if that means he didn't definitively practice. I haven't seen an update whether he did or he didn't or that was clarified. But I would expect he's going to be listed as questionable in a game-time decision, or not listed as a game-time decision, but questionable, and will be a game-time decision. But it's very possible that you could be looking at a second consecutive game without Brian Robinson, because obviously they're trying to get him right, one, and B, we all understand next Thursday night, or this Thursday night now, because it's a divisional game, carries a little bit more weight than this Sunday's game. That doesn't mean this Sunday's game is not important. Let's not confuse the two. Sunday's game, very, very, very important. Thursday's game against the Eagles, really important. There is a difference, but let's not confuse the two. Marshon Lattimore has been ruled out. That we know. Not a surprise. Here's the worry. Austin Seibert, the place kicker, he's been banged up with a hip. Missed Wednesday's practice, was limited yesterday. We don't know the official, again, designation, if you will, but it's concerning enough, and it should be, that the Commanders have actually brought in a couple of place kickers, according to one of their agencies, and then J.P. Finley did confirm that the Commanders have already worked out a number of kickers as a precaution. Now, we should find out more on that Saturday afternoon at 4, if they sign one of them to the practice squad and then have the standard elevation and whatnot. But we will see on that. But Austin Seibert, so far, has been great, right? He's only missed two field goals, and both 50-plus, and one he got his foot stuck in the dirt, and one got blocked. All right, so that's the injury situation as we know it right now. Again, no Marshon Lattimore for the Commanders, and that certainly hurts in so many different ways. We're going to get into how to attack the Steelers on offense, on defense, and the worry spots and the concerns for the Commanders on Sunday after John Walton joins us, the voice of the Washington Capitals on the Caps Radio Network and 106.7 The Fan, and occasionally here on the Team 980, joins us next as the Caps and the Penguins get it going tonight. 70th all-time meeting between Alex Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby, and it's tonight at C1A. That's next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.